Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Oh, hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Hey there, Count Panic.
Funny enough, I'm wearing my Macho Man Randy Savage hoodie here today. So
no cape. By the way, everybody, we have some bad news.
So the cape update. We should give a cape update,
because
right?
The hashtag missing cape update.
The cape has still not been located.
No.
Nor has the box the cape was in.
No. So whoever's holding the cape hostage will pay whatever it is.
You think there's somebody's wearing it right now?
It's possible, man. I can't believe
Jed?
The cape's missing, but look, if you're holding Count Panic's cape around ransom, please give that.
I mean, this is like when they steal Batman's cowl or something like that, you know?
This is a travesty.
It's a major prop.
It is.
It's a wardrobe. It should be in the Smithsonian or something like that, but yes. It's on the loose somewhere, but we'll find it, Bob.
Happy belated Dingus Day to you, by the way.
Happy
Easter.
Dingus Day, Bob.
Well, it belated.
Happy belated Dingus Day.
And Easter. I didn't see any Easter either, so happy belated Easter.
Happy belated Easter.
Yeah, so let's get your hashtag weekend update. I guess everything just has hashtags now, so what's your Count Panic's weekend update?
The weekend update, and also chiming in on the YouTube page there. Brake lights on the 405 says hiya. Hiya back, brake lights on the 405. But yeah, it was a good Easter there, Bob. You know, the traditional Polish stuff, right? Ham, sausage, and whatnot. You know, the weather's been wacky. So if you went on an Easter egg hunt this past weekend, you probably wore a coat for that. Then, of course, the day after Easter, Bob, is Dingus Day, a Polish
tradition.
Yeah. You know, I was out there with my friend, Mr. Pierogi, at Big Frank's Sausage there, which, you know, you were there recently. But they had the live morning show, WJOE broadcast of the morning show with Chuck and Bob Starkey, who is Bob before dark, I guess, essentially.
Yeah, there is a Bob before dark here at WJOB. That's not me.
And it's his birthday today, so happy birthday to Bob Starkey. But
happy,
you know,
birthday,
what?
Bob Starkey.
They were doing the morning show out there at Big Frank's. Had to come in the studio, and we kind of bounced back and forth between me, or not me, but Mr. Pierogi being
there. Yeah, not the same person.
I was there, but he was there as well. And, you know, that was a good time. A lot of people showed up to Big Frank's Sausage there in East Chicago. I know Stan Stefanski's a big fan of the program as well. So, you know what? Dingus Day, Bob. If you haven't experienced at 6 a.m. in the morning, you really should
Nothing
try
like it. Getting sloshed at 6 a.m., Count.
I was, you know... We didn't know if you were going to show up or not, but you know,
I wanted to, but I was in New York during
New York.
That time. Yeah, I just got back in from Boston yesterday, and boy, my arms are tired. And by that, I mean, literally my arms are tired. I drove with Vix from Boston back to Chicago, and it was a long ride.
Easter in Boston.
Spent the Easter in Boston. You are correct.
I hear that's what people really go there for Easter a lot, you know?
No, they don't.
Oh, I thought so.
There was a convention out there, Anime Boston, and then I was in Salem, of all places, this last week.
People go there, too, for Easter.
No. Halloween. Yeah. Speaking of, this is breaking news as far as the paranormal world's concerned. The Warren Museum, the Warren Paranormal Museum, is closing. Matt Rife is taking all the objects out of the Warren Occult Museum now, and they're apparently moving them to Salem. That's really been the update as of the past couple days. Some of the local townspeople are very unthrilled by this, and this is a story for another day because we have a bunch of guests, but what a world we live in where I can just now openly go visit Annabelle whenever I want.
Is that safe, Bob?
That's not to me. It ain't safe. I don't want to go see the doll.
You hate dolls. And that's probably, would you say, the most, oh, I better not press that. Don't want to do that.
Please don't press buttons and losing a guess or anything like that.
The most terrifying doll of all time.
Her Robert the Doll. I don't know which one's scarier, in my opinion. Robert's got, like, a track record of, like, actually, like, causing problems. Annabelle's got a track record, too. I don't know.
It's but he never question. Had a hit movie made after him.
Yeah, they made a movie about Robert the
Was
Doll.
It like the Annabelle?
No, gosh, no.
Powerhouse.
No.
You haven't made it until they made a movie about you as a doll.
As a doll? Yes. I mean, Barbie got a movie recently.
Yeah. That was a big. That was a scary movie.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It's actually pretty okay.
Horror movie?
All right. Are you ready to move on with the show?
Yeah.
Bob After Dark is your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite item to receive in an Easter egg.
An Easter egg? Oh, man. Well, I mean, as an adult or as a child, I guess. They had the adult Easter egg hunts.
They chocolate. Do. I saw online somebody was receiving bottles of Malort, the mini bottles and Easter eggs. And I'm like, now that is the Easter egg hunt that I would like to go on.
Yeah, I mean, traditional chocolate. And by the way, Bob, before I ask you the same question here, I noticed these were in the background of me. Do you know what these are?
Is that a switch?
Well, this is what they had at Big Frank's yesterday. I don't know how it made it, I guess Chuck and Bob brought it back to the studio, but the tradition of Dingus Day, you know, you use a squirt gun or use these things, well, it's not the traditional pussy willow, but it's one of those things that you would smack people around with there.
Yes, it's a switch.
Yeah, sure. So I don't know why I won't use this during the show.
Are you threatening me?
I'm going to stand like this in the corner in case you get
if I get out of hand. You're out of hand. Panic's going to start getting me with a switch.
It's
on
here if you need it.
Day.
What about you? What do you like in your eggs?
You know, in 2026, if I opened up an Easter egg and got a one shot of Malort, that would make my day.
That's all you need.
Now, don't get me wrong. I do like me, you know, the chocolate Easter egg as well. So if I cracked one open and saw one of them Cadbury eggs, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
It's interesting because if you guys go back in the library, there's actually a Bob After Dark episode where we talk about the Bunny Man of Virginia. You're not paying attention.
I am. I'm just making sure the Zoom is still up.
Gosh, we better hope that the Zoom is up because I'm not prepared for an episode this week if we don't have
We'll
Zoom
do an episode
up,
about right? eggs. You know?
I'll be sitting here just reciting off of Star of Facts even though Easter's completely over and it's like 35 degrees outside by us right now. All right, so Count Panic, we have some guests on this week.
Yeah, let's see here. Okay.
And these guests, I think, are the farthest away guests we've ever had on the show before.
Really?
Yeah. That's an interesting fact. Because we've never had an international guest. We've tried.
No, we tried.
We've tried, but it never pans out. Yeah. So this is really cool. And I'm pretty excited to say this. We have, I got an email in my email inbox, funny enough, from another Bob. Well, which
there's lots of Bobs.
There's lots of Bobs, but this Bob happened to be into the paranormal just like I was. And of course, I'm just going to say yes because the fellow Bob gets on the Bob After Dark show and it just kind of goes hand in hand. But joining us this week is, and guys, let me know if I'm pronouncing this wrong, SB Paranormal.
Let me pull them up there.
Yep.
There we go. They said, yeah.
Yes. They said the way you made that sound was like when you did it, you're like a ghost box, and it's just like, they say yes.
We could do a show like that. I'm trying to get them on the screen here now at this point.
There you go. I see them on
There they are. Yeah, it's it actually stands for Eugene Springfield Paranormal Investigations because we started in Eugene in Springfield, Oregon.
Excellent. So all the way, guys, we have guests from all the way from the great state of Oregon. Would you like to introduce yourselves, folks?
Yeah,
yes.
So
Bob, go ahead.
I was initially emailed. I've listened to your podcast for about 2 years now.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so my name is I'm Bob, the one that emailed you. I've been kind of joking with my team that I'll be Bob after 10, half past 10 tonight. And yeah, so that's me.
Hey, welcome. welcome.
Howdy. I'm Walt, equipment tech with SB Paranormal, and also producer of our new series, SB Haunted Case Files, which I'm excited to talk about. And I just want to thank you for having us on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, guys. So tell me a little bit about what SB does before we get into specifics about everything else.
Cool. Yeah, Bob, if, it's kind of weird addressing Bob because there's two of you.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure SB out Bob. How are we going to do this.
Bob 1, Bob 2?
I'll be Bob 1, and then, no, our guest is Bob He'll 1, be Bob I'll one. Be Bob 2. Yeah, okay. Our guest is Bob 1, I'll be Bob 2.
Bob 1, why don't you go ahead and take the reins and tell the audience how we got started and what we do up here.
Yeah, so we're kind of a group of people that just love everything paranormal and spooky and creepy. And we met on a Paranormal Eugene Facebook group and then decided to have a get together. And then very shortly after that get together, I got approached by somebody that said, "Hey, I have a haunted bar. Do you want to come check it out?" And so it very quickly became, "Hey, I know we all just met, but do we want to go check out this haunted bar together?" And while at this haunted bar, we kind of split into this protocol or natural way of doing things that we've been developing. We sort of developed at that bar and have continued developing. And it's been kind of a novel approach to paranormal investigation, we think. And it's just been an amazing ride.
That's amazing. Got everything okay?
Yeah, tech-wise? I think we're good, right? You hear them all?
Yeah, I hear them all. Perfect. I'm just making sure we're good.
Yeah, tech-wise. We're on the air.
Excellent. Well, that's what I like to hear.
I hope we're on.
How long has SB been around?
So we started what?
October last year.
Oh, so you guys are brand new.
Yeah, brand new. Yeah. So I had all of us in the group grew up with some paranormal experience or going to paranormal investigations. You know, both Walter and I have experiences growing up in haunted houses and stuff like that. And then we went within the period of 4 months to having like four potential investigations to having over 80. So
we've been very busy lately.
That's incredible, guys. I barely get to an investigation like a month.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. Honestly, too many investigations for us to handle at this moment. So it's kind of like fitting them in when we can, when all of our schedules align, because we have 11 or so people on our team.
That's a good chunk of people.
Yeah. And it works out the way we do it, because we do things in kind of phases. So we don't do just one investigation. So we do multiple steps over the process.
Okay. What does SB stand for, by the way?
The Eugene Springfield Paranormal Investigation.
I don't know if that was asked already. Kant, did I ask that already?
It's on record now, Bob.
Okay, that's good. So, guys, tell me a little bit about yourselves then. Whoever wants to go first, Bob 1 or Walter.
Let's have Walter go first this time.
Hi, I'm Walter. I'm an independent filmmaker up here in Eugene, Oregon. I've been doing it for a long time. Also multi-Emmy nominated and one Emmy win. Saw this opportunity to follow this group of investigators to a couple of investigations and noticed this thing that was sort of bubbling, which we now call the SB protocol. And I was like, hey, I got all this camera gear. I've got all these years of experience as a filmmaker. I'm going to document you guys if you're okay with it. And maybe we'll have something cool to show after the fact. And I do think we have something that is pretty cool to show for sure.
Excellent. What kind of films do you make? Because Count Panic and I each went to school for broadcasting and focus in film back
the fine
in the
art.
The school of fine arts back in the day.
School. We went to, what was pretty well known for their film.
They're a great film broker.
Purdue, yeah, they were known for their film.
No, they weren't.
No?
I think we were
the only one.
No, that Alex is doing great.
Alex is the most accomplished out of in the film industry, yeah. You know, we could have been the next Scorsese's.
We're still doing just fine, Cal, yeah. In radio and podcasting. Yeah. But anyway, what kind of movies do you make?
I primarily work in horror out here in Oregon.
Yeah.
But I've done dramas, I've done comedies, I've done martial arts action thriller, I've done sci-fi family movie. I've been all over the gamut, honestly.
Very cool. All right, Bob, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Virginia on the East Coast, where my dad, growing up, used to drag us to different cemeteries or Civil War battlefields, and we'd camp out in certain places where soldier camps were, that people who owned the property we knew, and my dad would always try to do investigation stuff there. We also lived in briefly in a haunted house while I was growing up, where the house was like converted from an old nursing home that was like partially demolished and then converted into a house. And so that we had a lot of activity there. And then when I moved to Oregon, I kind of tried to find a different group, and things just always kept phasing out, and we've finally managed to make something work. I'm currently an IT specialist for the University of Oregon here in Eugene.
Oh, that's cool.
We might need you on the show here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's good to know if we go down.
I tend to wind up do more tech support than is typically my job to do, because everybody keeps getting sent to me. They're like, go to him. He'll figure it out. And yeah, so.
I'm not putting that call in here. But you know what? The YouTube is working. I know we see Heather chime in. Hi, Bob and Count. Both Bobs, I guess you could say, in this case. And also Gino from Region Bandstand every Saturday morning, providing there's no sports, on at 10 a.m. Says, just checking in there. Hi, guys. So hi back to Gino. But people are, they're on the Bob After Dark. They're chatting here.
That's good. And you said something's wrong with the phone lines?
No, the phone lines. No, I hope not.
I hope not. By the way, folks,
we'll be calling Bob 1.
You guys could be calling in at any point, 219-845-1100. That's 219-845-1100. So tell me a little bit about, Walter, we'll go back to you to start this one. Where does your paranormal background come from?
When I was a teenager, my family lived in Vegas, and we lived in this extremely active house. We had you name it, this house had it. Objects moving on their own, footsteps, audible voices, light switches turning on and off, like physically flipping on and off, multiple people getting weird bruises, scratches in the house. And it all sort of culminated around, I want to say, 2007, when we actually had a minor rite of exorcism performed on the house. And in the middle of this sort of like intense moment in the prayer, it was a Catholic exorcism, right when the priest basically says, it demands any unclean spirits to leave the house, our screen door on the back of our house actually flew off the house, like 7 feet through the air, crashed into the backyard. He was really funny because he was just like, so we're not going to pay attention to that. Everybody focus over here. And there is my very excited daughter screaming at my door. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
Well, that was a spirit.
I was hoping at first I didn't realize there was a, Vegas. I was about to say, oh geez, there's a, Cal, I think either there's a child screaming in one of the backgrounds, or we have a ghost in the studio that's not normally one of the ghosts that we deal with here at the studio. Yeah.
We'll be fine.
Okay. No, you're fine. Yeah, so how bad was it that you guys needed to call in a priest for an exorcism? Like, that's a nonchalant thing to bring up, friend.
Yeah, so it technically was a minor rite of exorcism.
Minor. Okay,
so
I'm sorry.
The Vatican didn't have to get involved. But yeah, so basically, you know, my mom being very Catholic, after us living in the house for about 4 years and everyone being like, so first off, we're pretty sure ghosts are real and our house is super haunted. She was like, you know, I just had this thought the other day. I never got the house blessed when we moved in, so I think I'm going to go ahead and do that. And then she didn't tell us that it was a minor rite of exorcism.
What was your reaction, Mom, when you found that out?
Yeah, it was quite an experience. And ever since then, I've just sort of been like, I haven't had like really any major experiences since then until meeting this group and sort of doing our own investigating.
Very cool. Bob, one same question.
Yeah, so like I said, I kind of grew up going to getting taken to Civil War sites and places. We did the battlefield at Gettysburg one time. We saw some really cool like stuff there and full body apparitions. Growing up, we had, like I said, the haunted house where we would have the same thing of whispers and footsteps. We would have like things go missing and like reappear in like a random spot. Things turning off and on. We would actually go to sleep, and then like we'd all go to our rooms or whatnot, and then like we hear like a sound, like something fell in the kitchen, and like we'd come out, and like all of a sudden, in that space of like maybe 5 minutes, all of the kitchen cabinets have been emptied, and everything is sitting on the table, and we have no idea how any of that got there. So really freaky stuff like that. We used to have this. I don't really know what you would call it, but growing up, my mom could not stand the house being quiet in the middle of the day. Any day between 12 and 1 p.m., 12 noon and 1 p.m., you could hear like this old 1930s radio playing in the house. And so the house was like this big kind of L shape. And so you had, or like a C shape, she had your kitchen and dining room on one side, a big hallway with bedrooms, and then your living room. And that was basically like the front lobby and the kitchen, and then four rooms that were left over from an old nursing home. And if you were in one end of the house, you'd hear it in the kitchen. If you were in the kitchen, you'd hear it in the living room, and you just would hear this radio playing throughout the house. And it just creeped my mom out to the point where she always had to have the TV running at that like middle part of the day. It didn't have to be watching it, she just needed it on and as loud as possible because she couldn't stand the, just freaked her right out.
Wow. Nothing like a little poltergeist activity going on, huh, Kyle?
Yeah, I know, that really gets you going, doesn't it?
Well, how would you react if you got home and somebody took all the pierogies out of the freezer to get them defrosted?
I would be upset, but then I would right away.
You would not be upset if you got home. The pierogi is already defrosted.
But who did that? You know, that's the problem. Just,
who cares? Who cares? I ain't going to get the house.
I don't trust anything defrosted.
Minor rite of exorcism if they start just defrosting my food.
Pierogi geist. That's what we call that.
Pierogi geist.
You're just floating around and everything. Yeah.
It's like my April Fool's joke the other day when we started doing the, when I said I was going to transition over to doing Bob After Birds.
That was good.
Oh, I'm glad you had a good kick out of that, the Bob After Birds
show. I think people want that.
Nobody wants that.
Some people. I think you guys want to see an episode about birds, right? Or at least one episode dedicated.
Nobody wants. I mean, if it's a cryptid, you're talking about Thunderbird or, you know, the one bird cryptid out of Alton, Illinois. I mean, there's creatures like that, but we're not going to be talking about, like, the woodpecker this week. The woodpecker.
Terrifying.
Anyway, back to our story here.
Yeah.
So Bob, where do you start investigating at? When does that come into play in your life?
So I start investigating by myself when shortly after moving to Oregon in 2012, I start kind of looking for random places. I actually used to live right down the street from the Masonic Cemetery here. We have a special Mason cemetery for stonemasons. So I used to like live right down the street from there. And a couple creepy things, but nothing major. You'd always see like shadows moving through the woods there. But you sort of just kind of relit that passion and that kind of curiosity. And so I started.
That was just a phone interfering, I think, there.
Okay. Do we have a caller?
We do have a caller.
Hold on. Hang in there, Bob. One.
I think that's why.
Caller, you're on the air?
Hey, Bob. This is John. How you doing?
Hey, John. Good evening.
He was at Dingus Day, too, as well.
Happy belated Dingus Day to you, sir.
Yeah. Same to you. Happy Easter. How was your Easter?
Oh, spent it in Boston working, John. You know, never-ending cycle for Bob here.
Yeah, I hear you. I want to ask your guest that said he had the exorcism performed. Maybe I didn't hear. I don't know if you mentioned the things that were going on in your house. How did this happen? Was the house haunted when you bought it, or things just began to happen when you moved in? I don't know if he said anything about it, or I didn't hear it.
Walter, were you able to hear that?
Yeah, I could definitely speak on that. So when we moved into the house, it was actually a funny experience.
One second, Walter. John can't hear.
You can't hear that Zoom?
No, I can't hear him, no.
Oh, no. How do we fix that? Okay, so what we'll do is...
Well, you know what? You know what? I could listen in on the radio.
Okay.
That'll work. John, what we'll do is if you...
Okay, so that was my first part. My second part is when he had the priest doing the exorcism, I heard him mention that, you know, it's nothing that he had to, you know, alarm the Vatican about. But did he have to, I mean, did he find it necessary to go to the bishop of the diocese there in Oregon? And when he performed the exorcism, I know he said his mom was a Catholic, so obviously they had faith that this might work. What was the reaction of the priest when he actually seen that door flying off? Did he say, "Wow, you mean I really did that?" Or, you know, "Oh, that's nothing." You know what I mean? Was he surprised that he performed an exorcism where he, you know, scared the living daylights out of somebody to, you know, to have that door fly off like it did? And so I'll go ahead and listen to that.
Thanks, John, for calling in. We appreciate you.
All right, Bob.
All right, so do you remember the order of those?
So the first question was, the first question was, how was the house haunted to begin with? What was the series of events to getting the minor rite of the exorcism done? And then the second question was the priest's reaction to the door flying off the hinges.
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story. When we first moved into the house, essentially my parents bought the house. It was very abrupt, and we had about a week to pack up where we were currently living and move into the new house. So the house, the new house, the haunted house, basically had nothing in it for about a week. And when we started moving the furniture into the house, that very first day that my father and I went in the house together, the house is empty and we're sitting on the fireplace mantle, and across the room from us, the bathroom light turned on by itself. So we were in the house for maybe an hour or two at that point, and this is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a sunny Las Vegas day. And I just kind of looked at my dad and was like, "That's really strange." But we didn't know that during that week, my sister had actually stayed at that new house with her boyfriend, because she had flown in from out of town to help us move. And she said during that week, while it was just her and her boyfriend in the house, they had heard people like having conversations and walking around up on the very top floor of the house. But they didn't tell anyone in the family about that until about a year later, when we all started asking each other, we've been having weird experiences in the house. How about you? Blah, blah, blah. So the house was always haunted. And this was like, I want to say the house was less than 10 years old. That whole like neighborhood was relatively new. So we didn't know like where it was coming from or what could have caused it.
Sounds. And I think the second part was the Catholic aspect of it. You know, you didn't go to the Pope, obviously, but the bishop. may touch on that too a little bit there.
Yeah, John's our one of our Catholic experts here on the show. He calls in whenever there's a Catholic, a Catholicism thing pop up. It's our resident expert. So he was more interested in hearing that.
Yeah. So I don't really know like all the details of what had to happen for my mom to like organize all this and orchestrate it. I would say there's probably a chance that they had to go through like the sort of bishop of that area to get the approval to do it. And during the actual exorcism, the priest, he was as cool as a cucumber. He warned us beforehand. He just said, let's just keep our attention on the prayers and not focus on anything else. And that was kind of like an ambiguous, I guess you could say, warning before the prayer started. But nothing really happened up until that exact moment when he sort of commanded these spirits to leave the house. And we had this door just fly off of the house. It was very strange.
That's... I've heard a lot of crazy things in exorcisms. I've never heard of a door flying off. That's nuts.
Yeah, we were all really confused. And, you know, it was, again, this is in the middle of the day. It was a hot summer day in Las Vegas.
All right. So let's back to Bob there. Bob, tell us a little bit about...
And John said, thank you. Very interesting.
Oh, appreciate you, John. Yeah. So, Bob, tell us a little bit about the creation of SB, because you you said you just kind of went online, found a paranormal enthusiast group, and kind of met together through that.
Yeah, so there, there were people that were multiple people on that page. It's just the people for people posting paranormal activity in Eugene or something they can't explain. Anya, who was the kind of founder of that page and the founder of and. The founder of the group had posted that she used to do paranormal investigations and was interested in doing them again. And so myself and a few others said, hey, well, let's actually meet up and do that. And so we did. We had our kind of like a great get together, like let's talk about our paranormal experiences. And, you know, we all shared, our experiences and our history. And then I want to say it was within 2-3 weeks, I got approached by the owners of the bar, and I was like, hey, it is a small bar. So I was like, hey, we need to kind of like limit our size a little bit. But it's like, three different groups of people that paranormal investigate came together to form one central group. And we kind of each have our talents and our skill sets that really work out in our favor. For whatever reason, I get people that approach me with locations all the time, and it's a very weird situation. I just get messages and be like, hey, I've got this haunted place. Can you guys help me? And I'm like, how do you know I do anything with that? And they're like, I don't know, I just got a feeling. And we start talking about it, and it's really neat.
Do you hear that knocking on the wall?
No.
I'm not joking with you. There's a knocking on the wall.
Oh, stop it.
Stop.
Why are you trying to terrify us tonight?
I'm not trying to terrify you. I'm asking you a legitimate question.
I didn't hear anything, but I got headphones on.
Okay, well, when I pick it up on the microphone through post editing, then you're going to be like, oh, my God. Well, I mean, I'm not worried about
what kind
it.
Of,
we do record this in a haunted studio.
What kind of ratings sweep stunt are you trying to pull here?
I'm not. We legitimately host this in a haunted studio, so.
Okay. Well, I haven't heard anything, Bob. So.
I heard the knocks. I'm not crazy. I know what I heard.
You're not crazy.
Maybe Ghost has a question.
Yeah.
That's.
Got your Ouija board?
Preacher, and I can bring that with you. Preacher, if you're here, you just, you know, hey, thanks for saying hi, but we're busy doing a show
A show here, yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
Maybe he knows where the cape is.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, hey, Preacher, can you tell us where the cape's at? That'd be great.
We got to ask the question that, yeah.
Because if not, we're going to have to get, like, you a new cape, and that's just going to really be a pain.
It's not in the budget, I don't think.
It's in the budget. We'll get this one monogrammed.
I want to, yeah, sequins and everything.
Walter, were you a part of the group when Bob first put out this bar thing, or did you come along a little later?
Yeah, so... we all met at the same meeting in October, sort of like just a random get together of paranormal enthusiasts. It was actually funny because I got into the group because I was looking for a GoPro to purchase for this horror film that I'm trying to make, and I met the boyfriend of Anya, and the boyfriend was like, "Oh, you're doing horror films? My girlfriend runs this Eugene Springfield Paranormal Investigations Facebook group. You should join it and say hi and introduce yourselves." So it was all very serendipitous, like weird timing synchronicities, and we all came together in October.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
We do paranormal meetups here in Chicago. I haven't been to one yet. I know Jack Chavez. Sorry, I was just listening to my interview with him the other day when he told me I was lazy by pronouncing his last name wrong. Jack, if you're listening to this later on, I gotcha. We got a caller.
Yeah, let's see. Bob here. Again, I don't know if the Zoom and...
Caller, you're on the air.
Let's try this.
Hello?
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, I enjoy the show. I'm into the topic. And you did mention that the studio is haunted, and I did hear all about that, and I find that really interesting. So I was just wondering, have you guys ever tried to get a group there to investigate?
We have, actually. So, guys, I don't know if you heard on the Zoom call there, somebody asked if we've ever had the studio professionally investigated, and the answer is yes. Myself, Northwest Indiana Paranormal Group, Pete joined us.
Pete Greist,
yeah, we came in here and did a full investigation.
About what? How many years ago?
It's been about 3 to 4 years, I'd say.
Probably four or five years ago.
Yeah, because I got my wisdom tooth extracted the next morning.
There you go.
Yeah, that's how I remember. No, we had, when we did the investigation here, I tell this story a lot, but we were doing an Estes method, which is where I go into sensory deprivation mode. I'll call with a blindfold on my face, and I'll wear headphones, and I'll let static pull through my headphones, and if I hear a voice, I'll talk.
I'm familiar with that. Yeah, I've done that too.
So we did it in the old recording where the studio used to have the shows at in the back room. And during the Estes method, we legitimately had Kyle Panic in a test because he was there.
Yeah.
The steel door, which is to the soundproofing engineering room, which is a giant thick steel door, slammed shut. And then at one point I said, what was it, Count? Hey there, sports fans. Or something like that, which is one of Preacher's lines he used to say.
And there was other stuff too.
We had the SLS camera where the figure looked like it was wrapping up cable wire, and then we had the we had a lot of things happen here during our investigation. It was a pretty cool place, and I get to proudly say now that we're back home in the old studio, I could say I do my show out of a haunted studio. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's real cool, because recently I ran into the Northwest Indiana Paranormal Group.
Yeah, that's who we had with us.
At the Lark over there in Griffith. Mm-hmm. And that's purported to be haunted too. And you know, I go there sometimes for meetings and stuff. And it was funny, though, because the men's bathroom is like near the meeting areas. The women's, they got to go down a creepy hall down there.
Great.
And so I'd gone to the bathroom and I heard voices, you know. I was like, what the hell, man? You know, because it was just supposed to be us in the meetings in the evening. And then, but it sounded like modern, like everything was okay, you know, but it's weird anyway. And I told everybody else about it, and they walked down there. Sure enough, it was them, you know. It was Pete Greist.
They get around.
Yes, they were there. So we had a real good conversation with them, and I'd gone on a hunt at the Whiting Library over there during the Wicked Fest, I think it's called.
Wickedly
Whiting. That's when I did the Estes there. You know, that was creepy, man. In the children's library down in the basement.
Yeah.
And so I'm totally into it. You know, but you know, back to the studio. I think, doesn't it kind of make sense with the frequencies and, you know, all the time that the strong frequencies there, I don't know if it's just recorded, you know, haunting that just keeps happening again, or do you guys think it's more of an intelligent sort of a spirit, and do you guys really think that it's the preacher?
So that's a good question, and guys on the other end, and because I know
I think they could hear you could
can,
hear
can
them,
you
right?
hear them now?
They just can't hear. I don't think.
They couldn't hear John. But
oh,
you guys
sorry.
Could hear. The
well,
other...
they could hear.
We can hear the caller.
The phone, okay, excellent.
On the phone lines, they might not be able to.
Oh,
hear
okay,
them.
I gotcha. But so caller, to answer your question, I think it's a little of A, a little of B, with the giant radio tower out back behind the studio. It is a giant conductor of energy. That is what its job is,
right?
So it wouldn't surprise right. me if it was some sort of conduit towards spirit activity. And then on the second part, though, when I was in here, and I'm, you know, I host a paranormal show, so I'm a believer in the paranormal, but I also understand when there's just not a haunting. You're not every place is haunted. However, we, mm-hmm. you know, from the investigation and the results we had here, I believe the preacher still hangs out here at the studio, and not necessarily nothing wrong with that. I love sharing the studio with him. His office is here. I say hi to him whenever I walk in. I think he just likes to have the company again.
Wow. And, that's pretty wild.
We didn't get your name, sir. Sorry about that. What's the name?
My name is Raul.
Raul. Okay.
Raul, well, thanks for calling in, Raul. We really appreciate you.
Hey, no problem. You know, I can go on and on because I've gone on ghost tours and stuff. I went with the late, great Richard Crowe.
Oh, my goodness. The late, great Richard Crowe, best tour guide, ghost tour guide.
Oh, man. It was like the Gilligan's Island, right? A four-hour tour, man. It was cool.
With the Portillo stop.
I'll call back some other time and we'll talk about that.
Raul, we're here every Tuesday night at 9 p.m.
Yeah, how often are you guys on?
Tuesday nights, 9 p.m.
Providing there's no sports or emergencies.
Yeah,
Tuesdays at 9.
Okay. I'll keep it in mind because I ran into you guys on YouTube. So,
all right, perfect.
Thank you so much.
I dig the topic, and it's an awesome show, man.
Thank you, Raul. I'll be calling back.
All right. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Raul. Man, that's awesome. I appreciate the call.
Yeah,
so remember, guys, our phone lines are open, 219-845-1100. Mm-hmm. 219-845-1100. All right, back to our guests here. Thanks for being patient, gentlemen. Live radio.
Absolutely.
Live radio, you know how it is.
Live radio. I mean, this ain't a normal podcast. It's a radio show.
We have people that call in.
Podcast,
We're like Coast to Coast AM, but not.
Yeah.
Not as cool by any means.
Yeah, we'll get there.
One day.
Plumber guy chiming into the chats here on the YouTube. Again, we're on the YouTube as well, WGLB 1230 on YouTube. Plumber guy, I'm old enough to remember the preacher that was on WGLB there for a minute. Yeah, preacher was on for many years there.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And I believe he still hangs out.
His office is still intact.
His office is still intact. We were just talking about that today. So, gentlemen, tell me a little bit about your first paranormal investigation with ESPE when you guys got together for the bar. Because that's like the grand christening, the bottle against the ship, as you will.
Yeah. Bob, one, did you want to take this or did you want me to start?
Yeah, I could talk a little bit and then maybe you could talk a little bit if you want. So it started with... you know, it's a bar, so it's open late, so it's like really hard to find time to get in there and investigate. And so that kind of helped kind of start steamroll this protocol that we started developing. And so it wound up being the first phase a little bit would be myself and Anya, who is also one of our mediums. We have multiple mediums within our group. And so we went there and kind of like she tried to see if she could perceive anything before talking with the owners. And then we met up with Walter and went in one night while it was slow and started interviewing the owners and finding out some of the history, the location. And there is, I don't know how much we can, you know, can share, but
we could share as much as you want.
Yeah, so there is a lot of history and rumor of you know, motorcycle club activity in the area, There's been people who, you know, randomly come into the bar and they'll tell the owners, hey, like, we know of rumors of there's bodies buried out behind the train tracks in the back. And so, like, trying to piece together that rumor and speculation and evidence and whatnot. And then on top of that, this particular bar, it's been a bar for a while, but the building has been around for a long time. But it is right off the I-5 exit, right off high. So it's right between this corridor between Highway 99 and I-5. And it is, I mean, there are accidents, fatal accidents all the time. We found records going as far back as 1945 with a you know, 5 deaths in one fatal accident. And so it's astounding how many deaths have been right outside that bar on that corner stretch of highway.
Also how they reached out to you. They sent you a security camera footage of one of the doors in the building opening up on its own.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, Bob had mentioned it earlier. They've got that big solid steel door, and this is a very similar door. It's on the back of the bar. It's this big, heavy, solid steel door, and it just casually opens and closes on its own. In fact,
which is sort of the catalyst for having us out to investigate.
Yeah, that was like, we should go out and check that out. One of our members, her husband does like a lot of construction and stuff and contracting work. And we were like, hey, look at this door. Can you think of any reason that would cause it to just start opening and closing on its own? And he had nothing. And because just the solid, heavy door. While going outside, we spent some time walking outside the bar, and myself and Anya, we were having this kind of like one, like she was questioning, do I feel anything out here? Does she, kind of going off what she felt? And we had this moment, this kind of realization that we felt that there was a presence of a child that was hurt or died on these tracks at some point. Because on the other side of the bar, it's like a swampy area. There's a steel mill. There's a lumber mill. There's like, it's a very dangerous area back there. And the next investigation. So basically, if we go to the first phase, we don't go to the second investigation. The second team doesn't get any of the information or anything like that. And so Walter was filming Celeste and. Was it Savannah?
Yeah, it was Celeste and Savannah using essentially like the obelisk.
Yeah, so they had an obelisk like tool, and while they're out there getting ready to ask questions and look for EVP or anything, they get "I was hurt," and as they continue walking, it says they're asking questions. "You were hurt? Where were you hurt?" It says "forward," and as they walk towards the back of the trains, it says "a boy," which kind of matched with what Anya and I were feeling out by the tracks.
Yeah, it's a lot of strange, compelling pieces of evidence from that investigation for sure. And we went back to that bar 3 or 4 times over the course of about 2 months, had a whole bunch of really interesting experiences.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I actually go to the bar. I still go there weekly right now because I'm hoping that if we do another investigation there, the familiarity we might get even more presence.
Sure. Any excuse to go have a drink at the haunted bar is any good excuse for me. That's my 2 cents.
The other spirits.
Chasing spirits and spirits, you know what I'm saying? That's a good pun. Hopefully something comes from that. But so, gentlemen, tell me a little bit about this project you're working on, because we got about 10 minutes left of the show, so we want to hear about this project, because it's really exciting, right?
Yeah, this is... So we are shooting a series called SB Haunted Case Files, and it's, you know, documenting these these various different investigations that we've been on, and specifically this new approach to paranormal investigating, which Bob has made mention of a couple times. We're calling it the SB protocol, and basically it's a multi-phase investigation with a first phase sort of standard interview. We're bringing in a team with one of our psychic mediums, and they learn about the history of the location. They do a psychic reading, see if we capture any strange pieces of evidence at a very small investigation on phase one. And then at a later date, we'll come back in for phase two with a completely different group of people from our team. And those people go in completely blind. So they know nothing. They don't even know what paranormal experiences are being claimed. I'm the connective tissue between the phases because I'm documenting everything. So I can sort of see these similarities between the different phases, between the different teams, the different psychics. You know, like, for example, at the bar, when you have a psychic during phase one says, I can feel the presence of a woman by these bathrooms over here. And then a few weeks later, we come back with phase two with a completely different psychic, and they walk in the building and immediately say, there's a woman by the bathrooms. And then it turns out that, you know, one of the main claims from the owners of this bar is that they will see a woman pacing by the bathrooms. So for me, it's like really compelling evidence that sort of measures and tests the connection between paranormal activity and human consciousness, which is where I think the main source of paranormal activity likely comes from.
Okay. We're all looking forward to seeing it. Where will that be? Where will that be available for people to see?
Yeah. So we've been, it's been a little bit of an adventure the last few weeks. I've had a few conversations with different people from different networks and stuff. And I think we're leaning very heavily towards just trying to build our own thing, and specifically releasing these episodes on YouTube, at our YouTube channel, which is, people love it. It's called Spoopy Squad. Spoopy Squad. With an S.
I love that name. I was going to ask you guys about that, but I didn't know if what Spoopy Squad was. I didn't know if that was you or somebody else associated with the group. But I saw that when I was, you know, digging through your guys' Facebook group a little bit. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we're actively doing these investigations and documenting them and making these episodes for Haunted Case Files, but just by nature of our approach and the protocol, it takes several visits, and so it takes a long time to finish an episode. So the thinking on my end with Spoopy Squad is that this could be a distribution platform for various different paranormal content, paranormal teams. At some point, we would have multiple shows on Spoopy Squad, kind of all kickstarted with SB Haunted Case Files.
Very fun. Count, you got any questions for our guests?
I tell you, they're doing a great job, bang up job there on the paranormal side of things, and we got to follow them along. So we should probably get the social media again.
There, we'll get to that. I have another question. You had questions.
Bob is like the Walter. No, I don't want to say Walter Cronkite. He didn't ask too many questions. King.
You're my, what was the guy who held the band in the the other one?
The band.
Remember there was the talk show host, and then there was the band guy.
But there was a lot of talk shows with bands, though.
Never mind.
Which talk show?
What kind of talk show with the talk show guy and the band guy count?
That's every talk show.
Then we're every talk show. Jeez, why do you hate
me? We'll do Paul Schaefer. We'll do that one, yeah.
And also, here's a bit of trivia for you, Bob, too. My son's middle name is Arthur, named after the late great Art Bell of Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, that's
sweet.
That's wonderful. We have another caller.
Yeah, on that heart tug. That's a very cool fact there.
That fact.
Let's see. We got a call here. Let's try to get him on live here. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen. Bob and Count.
Oh, Bill.
Just thought I'd check in.
How's it going, Bill?
It's going okay. I mean, I heard the last caller mention Richard Crowe. I went a couple of times on his tours, and geez, when I get home, it get you thinking about that, you know.
That's amazing. Did you have a good time on Richard Crowe's tour, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, are you guys broadcasting from the old station?
Yeah, we're at the old station now, Bill.
Oh, I thought you were at the new one. Because every time I go that way, I see that place. I know years ago, when Irv Lewin had a show, I was a guest a couple times. Well, from St. Stan's, you know, we had our pancake breakfast, yeah. So we were guests on the program, so.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate you calling in about that.
Yeah, Bill. I miss those pancake breakfasts, Bill.
And the dingus, the day I remember that, I know I got not whipped, but hit a few times with some branches.
We got them right here, Bill, if you're watching the YouTube. Bob has yet to lash out, but I'm ready.
He's ready to get me.
If there's something going, if he starts acting up, he's going to get the pussy willows here, you know.
But I enjoyed myself, though. So listen, I'll let you guys go, and you have a good rest of the show.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Bill. And we have
no
problem. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. And we have we have many fans of the show chime in right now on my personal text line. Luke Miller, who's a big fan of the show.
Yeah, hey, Miller.
Miller with two eyes.
Hey, Luke Miller with two eyes.
And also Chuck saying Paul Schaefer. I did mention Paul Schaefer, but the one I think he was meant to say was, or he said, was Ed McMahon, who was Johnny Carson's sidekick.
That's who I was referring
to. But he wasn't the band leader,
that's
Bob.
I didn't mean the band leader, but you are my Ed McMahon to my Johnny Carson.
The guy that sits on the couch.
You are the guy that on the couch.
Yeah.
That's who I'm trying to, what I was getting at.
But Johnny rarely let Ed talk, I don't think, so that's good.
Quiet you.
I did
it's
not
better
know.
Than Penn and Teller making you not talk at all.
I did not know that.
All right, so our guests here, guys, I have one more question for you, and that is, what is your favorite paranormal investigation you guys have done together? I don't know if you share the same memory or if it's two separate ones, but I'd love to hear your guys' favorite investigation together and why.
Yeah, go for it, Bob. One.
Favorite investigation and why? My favorite one was really that first one, that bar, because it was kind of going in and not knowing what to expect, and the thrill of doing something you love with a new team of people and getting to have like some pretty compelling evidence. And really, it was probably one of the most haunted locations we've been to so far.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And you, Walter?
Yeah, I would say it wasn't necessarily a fun investigation, but we investigated this residential house in Cottage Grove. And encountered some like really dark potential entities. But on that investigation, which is the pilot episode of our series, we got one of the loudest, clearest whispers I think I've ever heard in an EVP. It's crazy.
Oh man, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, we gotta hear that one, yeah.
Yeah, when's the episode drop, guys?
Yeah, so I guess right now is the big breaking news. The pilot is gonna be airing on our YouTube channel on Mother's Day, May 10th.
There we go. Breaking.
Breaking news. Appreciate that. So all of our live fans, you heard that. And you guys, where can people see that at?
So yeah, that's at our YouTube channel, Spoopy Squad. That's Poopy with an S at the beginning.
Can you spell Spoopy for the older folk that don't know what Spoopy is?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Spoopy.
Excellent.
So instead of spooky, it's Spoopy.
We will have to check back in with you guys around June to see how the pilot launched and how things are going. We'll have to put a pin in that and have you guys come back on, and maybe we'll have some mural. Because you have a picture with a large group, and when Bob initially reached out and I saw the names, I was like, oh, we're going to have a full crowd here. So with just you two, maybe we'll round it out and get some other folk in from your group. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Definitely look forward to that.
So, and then where can people find more about SB and Spoopy and all that good jazz? Where can people find you guys at?
Yeah, we're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We've got an Instagram account. If you sort of look for Spoopy Squad on all of those, you'll probably find us some way or another.
Excellent. Cal Panic, do you have any
Yeah, well, I want to thank them both for coming on here on this is Bob After Dark, and keep an eye out Mother's Day, something for the whole all you mothers out there.
Absolutely. Now, as Bob will know, Bob One will know because he listens to the show, I always make my guest end with a quip or a piece of advice, a joke, a riddle or something.
Riddle.
So you guys each, you each owe me something, some sort of closing words, if you
we
will.
We need closure is what we need.
Yeah, no, go for it, Bob.
Yeah, I've actually been like struggling all day.
Oh no!
Wow.
Thinking about this, like I knew to have it ready, and I haven't been able to.
Oh,
well, the worst writer's block and panic and inducing of it.
I've got one for you if you want me to go first, Bob.
Yeah, go for it.
I got in trouble when I was in middle school once, and when my principal was talking to me, he told me the necessity of having an interesting conversation and charisma. And so then he told me this joke, and it's a knock-knock joke. It's the dumbest knock-knock joke I've ever heard in my life. Like but that. Bob, too, I'm going to actually have you go ahead and start it off. So go ahead and start the knock-knock joke for me.
All right, knock-knock.
Who's there?
I don't know, man.
Yeah. That's the whole joke. It's the dumbest joke.
Oh, that's good. And Bob won.
I'll give you one for Dingus Day here.
Sure.
So growing up in Virginia, you know, the South, the old saying, if you get in trouble, you have to go get your own switch. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will, I'll tell you the time I did quick thinking and got out of having to have to go get my own switch. My dad was, I forget what I'd done. I was a bit of a troublemaker. So I was always in trouble for something. And my dad said, go get a switch. But he had a tool shed out in the backyard where he did a lot of electrical work and stuff like that. So instead of going to the bush where the switches were, I went into the electrical box and pulled out a light switch, a spare light switch that he had there. And so I come back and he's like, where's your switch? And I pull this light switch out from behind me, and he looks at it and looks at me and he goes, well, I did say to bring you a switch. And I says, yes, you did. Just go away.
Guys, I just want to thank you both for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Did you guys have fun?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's good. Cal Panic, do you have any closing words for the audience?
Well, I had fun, Bob, as well. Closing arguments, closing statement, I guess you could say, is everybody continue to have a good week, and we'll see you next time, I guess, yes. Bob After Dark.
All right, folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Cal Panic, we just want to wish all of you sweet dreams. To my mom, good night. I love you, sweet dreams. Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. And Dad, your death date was the other day, and I've been thinking about you a lot lately. And as I always think about you every day, regardless, I hope if you're hearing this, you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing in the universe. And 4 years is a long time, Dad. I'm going to cry here, but I miss you every day. All right. Good night, everybody. See you next week.
Well, and the two most important.
Oh, jeez. I got emotional.
You did.
Two most important things of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.